reading this morning is from the book of Exodus in chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our Psalter reading this morning is Psalm 99, which can be found on page 819 of your hymnals. That's 819 of your hymnals. And we'll read the response where we see those red R's. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory over all the earth be found. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. The Lord sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion, and is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and wondrous name.
Holy is the Lord.
Mighty ruler, lover of justice, you have established equity.
You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Extol the Lord our God. Worship at the Lord's footstool.
Holy is the Lord.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory over all the earth be found. Moses and Aaron were among God's priests. Samuel was also among those who called on God's name.
They cried to the Lord who answered them, who spoke to them in the pillar of cloud.
They kept God's testimonies and the statutes God gave them.
O Lord our God, who answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings.
Extol the Lord our God and worship at this holy mountain.
Surely the Lord our God is holy.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory over all the earth be found. Amen. Our second scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Luke, chapter 9, beginning with verse 28. Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him and suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, How long shall I stay with you? How long should I put up with you? Bring your son here. Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were amazed at the greatness of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me for a minute? So this scripture was one of the first sermons I've ever given. I gave it at my home church down in Ocean City, and that Sunday was not a normal Sunday. They have three services at my home church, and my pastor only asked me to preach at one of them. The boardwalk service down in beautiful Ocean City, New Jersey. And so we stood there on the boardwalk overlooking the ocean, overlooking the beach, and my pastor, Pastor Larry, which always makes me laugh when I talk to Larry Adams, and Pastor Terry, who's an associate, retired Baptist pastor at that church, came and stood with me and prayed with me while overlooking the beach. And I've never felt more connected to God except in that moment, up until I was appointed here, and it's like I keep getting hit over the head by God. A couple months ago, I shared a sermon when I was exhausted. When I was exhausted because Dorothy Stevens had passed away, and I met with the family to discuss the funeral. I was exhausted because after that, I went to Sean and Christine Weber's house and met with them for premarital counseling. And I never felt more like a pastor than that day. And today I'm exhausted. I'm going to talk about what happened at General Conference. I'm going to talk about St. Louis, but I'm not doing it from here. I'm not doing it from this pulpit. I'm not going to do it from worship. I'm going to wait till after my benediction again. But I am exhausted. So let's look at Scripture. Jesus takes Peter and John and James and climbs up a mountain to pray. And if you were here 2 weeks ago, you're like, why does Pastor Jesse keep talking about mountains? And I like this scripture, and I liked it when I first gave my first sermon, long before I entered seminary, long before I had gotten a call from Drew Dyson that he was appointing me to Warren County, New Jersey. And I like this scripture because I did research. I read commentaries and books and blog posts and youth talks about what does this scripture mean. And I remember a book I read, I have the quote here. There's the book I read said that there's a 14 similarity. There are 14 points in which the transfiguration, which is what we're talking about today, when Jesus goes up the mountain and is transformed and transfigured into this beam of light. And this book said that there were 14 points of similarity between the transfiguration and the Garden of Gethsemane. 14 points? How many people were there? Who was talking? How are they sleeping? How was Jesus praying? Who was sleeping at what point? And on and on and on, and trying to present all these ways that the two events are similar. That in the garden, the disciples slept, and so how did the disciples sleeping in Gethsemane relate to the disciples sleeping on Mount Sinai? Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and how is that similar to Jesus going into the garden to pray? right before his crucifixion. 14 different ways, and folks, I'm trying to be funny because it's hilarious to me, to try to list out the 14 ways that all these events are similar. Why did the disciples fall asleep? They were tired. Again, because I like it and I like to tease Montana and Oxford. They climbed Mount Montana.
And they were tired.
And they were tired. That was it. That's why they fell asleep. It wasn't because they needed to sleep so that Jesus could be transfigured correctly, and that they'd awaken in the whatever. They didn't fall asleep because it was a thing. It was an allusion to the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus says that the soul is strong but the body is weak. It wasn't some kind of illusion or forthcoming or get ready because it's about to happen. The disciples were tired. They had driven 16 hours from St. Louis to New Jersey and were tired. I used to be a Boy Scout. We've talked about that quite a bit here because my friends tell me I talk too much about myself. I've started streaming my sermons, which is what that phone is over there, and I'm putting them up on our website now. It's mostly for my mom, but people have been asking me, and they're like, you know, we'd really like to see your sermons. We're not driving all the way out to Warren County. I'm like, I wouldn't either. Before July. Now I would drive 16 hours to be with you. There's nothing that can keep me from this place anymore. But my friends at school have told me I talk too much about myself in my sermons. I say that's just who I am, that's my shtick, and then had to explain Yiddish to a couple of my friends. I imagine Jesus as the ultimate scoutmaster. Climbing that mountain, talking to his troop of Boy Scouts behind him, you gotta get going. Come on, one more mile. One more mile, Peter. I know you can do it. You used to be a fisherman. This is not as bad as pulling up those nets. One more mile. John, you're a poet. I get it. It's not as easy for a poet to climb this mountain, but you got to go. Come on. The place we're going is beautiful. One more mile. One more mile. Let's go. And then they get to this clearing. He rubs his hands, says, this is it. We're going to camp here tonight. Peter, start your fire. James, pull out your harp or whatever. Start playing some music. Let's get the motion going. And then they fall asleep. I brought you all the way up here and you fall asleep? Come on, guys. What are you doing to me? My mom is my biggest fan. Happy to admit that. And when it comes to camping, she knows I'm a huge gearhead. I can go camping and hike up a mountain with nothing but, you know, the food and clothes and a tent, but I also like sometimes to go car camping in real comfort. I've never really been RVing. That's a little bit too... I still sleep in a tent when I go camping. But a couple years ago, my mom got me this coffee maker. Usually you just, you know, when you go camping, it sounded like you were ripping your Bible page up. She's pulling off a post-it note, and it was, I'm going to stand over here. Usually, I'll drink with a percolator. Put the pot of coffee on top of the fire or on top of my stove. It percolates up, and then you drink the coffee. A lot of grounds in that kind of coffee, but that's good for you, right? You chew on the grounds, and you're like, yeah, I'm camping. This is good. Or you could use a filter, and you gotta like carry filters up with you. So my mom bought me this this coffee maker, and it's a drip coffee maker that runs on a propane canister. The thing weighs like 35 pounds. It's bright red, made out of metal, has a glass carafe, which I think is the funniest thing in the world. And when you turn it on, I swear to you, it sounds like a jet engine is going. But it makes some of the best coffee I've ever had in the woods. And if I can, I'm going to bring it with me because it is perfect in the morning. Plus, the jet engine sound works because usually other people come over and they're like, what are you doing? I'm making coffee. You want a cup? And then That's how you become really good with your campmates. And so I was going camping with friends a couple months ago, and I'm the one with all the gear. I have extra sleeping bags and tents and cookware and all the things. So they come over and looking at what are we going to bring camping with us. And they're like, what about your coffee maker? I'm like, we are hiking 3 miles to our campsite because our, you know, that's not far. But we're hiking 3 miles in. I am not bringing this 35-pound coffee maker on a hike for 3 miles. I'm going to throw it off of the side of the cliff if I try to do that. Plus, you need all the water. Plus, you need extra filters, different than if you're just doing it with a percolator. It's just not going to work for us. My friend goes, but I really want a good cup of coffee. We can go without it for 2 days. It's okay. And this is how I imagine Peter and James and John walking up behind Jesus. Jesus is ready to go. He wants to get up and pray. He wants to get up and close to God the Father and pray to God the Father. And James and John and Peter are probably like, let's bring a coffee maker. Let's bring our food. Let's bring a tent. We can't just go up there alone. What are we doing? Let's bring a coffee maker. And so they get to the top of the mountain and they are tired and they fall asleep. And so Jesus starts to pray. He starts to pray and is transformed. He turns into this, what does the scripture say? As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. His clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. In the scripture Carolyn read today about Moses, every time he walked up to the mountain, every time he climbed the mountain to talk to God, his face shone so bright that he had to put a covering over it. He was freaking people out when he came off that mountain because he was shining like a flash of lightning. And so he had to put on a cover, he had to put on a hat. He had to hide himself until he went back up to God again. And so Elijah and Moses, these two patriarchs of the Jewish faith, are there. They're talking to Jesus about what's to come. The disciples wake up, and our scripture's a little bit clean for what I think they probably said when they woke up. And then Peter says, let's build 3 houses here. Let's build 3 huts, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. It is good for us to be here. Let's stay here. Let's stay here forever. Let's not go down off the mountain. Let's not go back to where we have to work, where we have to fight the crowds, where we have to fight those who are trying to kill you. Let's stay up the mountain. Let's stay here and worship you. Worship God. Worship Elijah and Moses. We brought that coffee maker all the way up this mountain. I'm not going back down, Jesus. I'm tired. Stay up here. We have to go back down. He knew there was work to be finished. He knew there were things to happen that we couldn't just stop. We couldn't just give up. We couldn't just stay there and worship God and be in peace for the rest of our lives. There are things we had to do. And what is the first thing that happens when he gets off the mountain? The next day, this is verse 37. The next day, when they came down the mountain, a large crowd met them. And a man in the crowd crawled out, "Teacher, teacher, my son is possessed. Your disciples could not heal him." He doesn't even get off the mountain. He doesn't get to go home and drink that cup of coffee. He doesn't get to go home and take a shower. He doesn't get to go home and rest for a minute. A giant crowd meets him at the foot of Montana Mountain, asking to be healed, asking for him to teach. We have to get off the mountain. We can't stay up here, Peter. We have to go. And so what does this mean for us today? For me, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. have the opportunity to drive 16 hours to Missouri, I recommend you do not. Pennsylvania is a long state. Ohio is a long state. I did see the world's largest rocking chair in Indiana, so that I would recommend to you, but not straight through. And do not come back and then go to school that day. But you have to get up. I have to get up. We have to get off the mountain. We cannot stay up there and worship God. We have to get down and get to work. I have to get down and get to work.